Football on Off the Ball.
With Sky. Don't miss Man City versus Everton on Super Sunday. Live only on Sky Sports.
You're very welcome back to this evening's Off the Ball. Willow Callan sitting in for Nathan Murphy. It is time for us now as we approach 7:30 to have a chat with the Republic of Ireland legend John Giles. John, how are you getting on?
I'm good, Will, thank you.
A lot for us to cover over the next while. We're kind of coming off the back of the international break and into the return of the Premier League this weekend, and particularly Arsenal against Liverpool is a very tasty fixture on Saturday night. But I wanted to ask you about Stephen Kenny first, because I remember you were chatting to Nathan at the end of the last international window, and your feeling was on the Stephen Kenny contract that there was four very important games which were going to be crucial for the FAI to make a decision.
Yes.
What's your assessment of Stephen Kenny in those four games either side of the two windows then?
Very good, Will. I think three wins and a draw, and a draw against one of the top teams, which is Portugal. So, that's the way I felt at the time, and I think that's been a very, very good return for Stephen.
It's been quite a turnaround when you consider from, you know, the low point of the Luxembourg defeat at home and not being able to break down Azerbaijan. Even third place finish in the group looked a long way away at that point. But to have played and like got some goals away from home, both against Azerbaijan and against Luxembourg, I think, look, there was 60 minutes, which was very so-so against Luxembourg. But after Jason Knight came on, they played particularly well.
Yes.
I think that has to be probably the optimistic thing coming off these windows, particularly, John, is that they went out and put two pretty routine away victories together.
Yeah, well, it was vital for Stephen because, as you know, when we played Luxembourg before and other teams that on paper we should have been beaten, it didn't happen. Now it has, and it's all about winning, Will, as we know, and I think the last four matches, for a results point of view, has been very, very good for Stephen.
I'm intrigued to get your view on Jason Knight as well, John. You know, it wasn't quite happening in the game against Luxembourg last Sunday. Ireland were struggling to create chances. Adam Eda was having a frustrating night in front of goal. And then when Jason Knight came on and started moving the ball around midfield, Ireland looked like a totally different team.
Well, he was very good. There's no doubt. And don't forget, he was involved, apart from being in midfield, he did his stuff around the goals. He laid the goals on, two of the goals in the time he came on. So he was, young Ida has been on and really hasn't done it well. You know, to be fair to him, like, I don't know if he's played any matches at all or very, very few matches at the top level for Norwich. And it's very difficult, I think, if you're not playing regularly in a good team. So I think when Jason Knight came on, he's a different type of player altogether, but he produced the goods in a very short time. He was really, really impressive when he did come on in the match against Luxembourg.
There was plenty of times, John, in midfield where we were bemoaning from an Irish point of view not having a footballer who can get his foot on the ball. Now we've got Josh Cullen playing particularly well from the base of that midfield. Jeff Hendrick looks like a man reborn over the last five or six games. And then you put Knight and maybe Jamie McGrath into it. Stephen Kenny's got some good technical midfielders available to him now.
Yeah, I think Cullen has been very, very good. I wouldn't be such a big fan of Hendricks, to be quite honest. But I think, you know, Knight coming on, players coming out from the back and playing well. You've got Coleman back and Doherty in the team. So they've settled down, there's no doubt. And score the goals, you see. I mean, obviously, without the goals, well, you don't do anything. Goals dictate the games. You know, if you go two behind you and you're really up against it, whereas in Luxembourg, we went up, two up. And that does relax the players and brings the best out of them. There's no doubt about that. The match against Portugal, where there were no goals, I think that was our best performance, well, overall. I know we didn't score, but they didn't score. But this is a top-class team. Luxembourg, on paper, you'd be expected to beat, and we did. But I thought the Portugal match was a better performance.
Yeah, I think the two performances against Portugal, Ireland come out with a lot of credit. The game in Faro, if it isn't for two late goals and two terrific goals from Cristiano Ronaldo, they could have got at least a point from that game. And look, I thought Ireland last Thursday night were really good value for the point that they took at home. Different night, the Matt Doherty goal may well have been given and we could be talking about an Irish win. And look, it's really come back to haunt Portugal as well. They're in the playoffs largely because they left the door open for Serbia for their game last weekend. But, you know, whatever about the wins against Azerbaijan and Luxembourg, John, that showed they can mix it with some of the best teams again with those two performances against Portugal over the last couple of months.
Yeah, well, particularly the other night. I mean, the other one was a good performance, but we still lost, Will. You know, and it's all about winning. But I thought the performance against Portugal didn't get much of a look in. Ronaldo was playing, and we gave as good as we got. And that, I think, is encouraging.
Yeah, a lot of people in the FAR are going to be sitting down to discuss Stephen Kenny's future and what they're going to do about potentially extending his contract beyond the middle of next year. It's one of those. He's got a few friendlies to play when the March window comes around, and they've got some Nations League, which is going to be coming around too. Do you think at this point, John, given what they've done over the last four games, it's now time to give Stephen Kenny a contract and maybe to give him that certainty going into 2022 that his future is not going to end next summer?
That's a difficult one. I think he's done extremely well. And I think if I was in the situation you were in, I would probably give him the contract now. But you know, it's a funny old game, as they say. I mean, coming into these particular matches, there was huge pressure on Stephen. And he's responded really well. So if you keep that pressure there, which you would if you weren't giving him the contract. I mean, football by nature is a pressure game. What could happen, and say you give him the contract now, and that pressure stops, then you might not get the results. Do you know what I mean, Will?
I do. Yeah, it's a case of because everything is on the line and the pressure is there to deliver, you got to kind of sink or swim. So therefore, you're going to be entirely focused on getting results as a result of that. While we've seen managers in the past, I mean, I remember Trapattoni, John, when he got his contract and everyone was saying he had to get one before the European Championships and it had to be extended. And in the end, the FAI ended up in that awkward situation where things went a bit flat after the Euros in 2012 and eventually they had to go looking for a new manager.
Well, that's what happens. I mean, if you look at football generally and in the Premiership, I'll go back to my own time. We're playing, say, Liverpool, which is a top team. There's a natural nervousness about the game, right, leading up to it. You know you have to be at your best to beat this team, right? Then you're playing a team at the bottom of the league next week, and you know this is not the same. These are not the same. But you have to build yourself up to get a false fear. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you can never afford that complacency to kick in, John, that you think you're great and therefore when you're probably at the top of the mountain, it's when you're at your most vulnerable then.
Well, it is because you think, well, we beat Liverpool last week. This team are not very good. All we have to do is go out on the pitch and play. And that's when you get the upsets. I'm not making the point very well, but that's the point. Like in Stephen's case, Stephen was under pressure. The team was under pressure. And they come up with the goods. Now, what could happen, I don't think it will, that for the remainder of the matches, Stephen signs a contract, that fear is gone. That fear is gone. And you have to have that fear. I mean, football, by nature, is, in my experience, fear. How am I going to play? Not fear of the situation, but fear that I'm going to play okay, we're not going to. And what makes the great teams is that they never underestimate the opposition. And what I found playing, so if we played a top team like Liverpool one week and then we were playing the team at the bottom of the league next week, you had to put more into it because it's Liverpool, you're naturally fearful. Against lesser teams, you think, well, we can go out. That's how you get the upsets in football and most sports because you don't rate the opposition as much as you do the bigger opposition. So you have to force yourself to say, look, this is a big match today. We've got in with the same attitude, more effort than we played against Liverpool the previous week. And that's my fear. I think Stephen will get a new contract. But I'm only making the point in that if and when you take the pressure away, you might not get the results.
Well, managers are going to be looking for results, John, this weekend. Three new managers in place for the Premier League games. It always seems to happen with that November international window that if teams are going to make a change, it's the time that they tend to do it. Give a manager 6 weeks or so before the transfer window comes around, try and get an upturn in form. And some of these are intriguing appointments. What do you make of Steven Gerrard going to Aston Villa? Because he could have sat there at Rangers for this season where they're in a very good position to win the league back-to-back. And instead, he's made that decision to go to an Aston Villa team who've slipped form-wise over the last five games, but plenty of promise shown under Dean Smith over the last couple of years.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, from Steven Gerrard's case, or anybody's case in the managerial world, you know, the likes of Villa don't come around every week. Well, do you know what I mean? I think there's a lot of promise in the Villa situation. I know they've had bad results for the last few weeks, but they've had a lot of injuries. I think Smith did a big job in Villa, and I think he's been a bit unlucky. Like lots of managers, look, if you go back to Arteta at the start of the season, you know, they went towards the bottom because he couldn't get a result. Now it's picked up, and I think Dean Smith would have picked Villa up had he been left there. But from Steven Gerrard's point of view, I think it's a good move. I think it's a good move because I think I just feel that his long-term ambition would be to manage Liverpool. And I think in this situation, he's probably got a three-year contract at Villa. I think he's got a chance of improving them, doing a good job. And if and when Jurgen Klopp leaves Liverpool, he could be well in line for that with a good experience.
I think if you're Liverpool's board as well, John, you probably look favourably at the idea of Steven Gerrard testing himself by going to a team like Aston Villa, because it would have been easy if his long-term goal is to manage Liverpool down the track. Look, he's worked with their academy teams before. He's a club legend. I've no doubt he'd be interested in the job when Jurgen Klopp probably leaves in 3 years' time. It would have been very easy for Steven Gerrard to stay in a two-team league in Scotland, battle it out with Celtic for some cups, and not make the move south of the border. He goes to Aston Villa into a very competitive situation where I would think the aim would be to get them somewhere where Aston Villa were last year, a comfortable top-half team. If he gets that or kicks them on beyond that and qualify for Europe, that probably impresses Liverpool more than the Rangers job.
Oh, there's no doubt. I think that's why he's done it, Will. You know, because there's only, like, if we go back to Scotland, I mean, you've got Rangers, Celtic, and that's it. I mean, you can't see anybody else winning the league up there in the foreseeable future. And if he's doing Rangers, it could well be, oh, it's only Rangers, you know, they're not one of the really top teams as far as the Premiership except. So I think he's going to Villa is a smart move anyway. I mean, 3 years is a long time in football, and what he's got to do is go in and do a good job at Villa and see where it takes him. But I mean, I'm looking from the outside, you're looking from the outside, I think he's an individual, a player, ex-player, I think at some stage would love to manage Liverpool. And I think the way he's going about it now is very, very, very good. You know, he's done a big job at Rangers. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I think Celtic had been on top for 9 years. Mm. And I didn't expect him to do as well. I must be honest, Will. I think he's done a big job. I think he deserves the Villa job that can really, really establish himself in the Premiership.
I know you're a big fan of Eddie Howe, John. He's gone into Newcastle at probably an interesting but difficult time for a manager to come in, because they always talk about the transition manager when a club gets a lot of money and they felt that obviously Steve Bruce was not the guy they wanted to lead them forward. Eddie Howe comes in now. There'll always be that feeling that if the Saudi Arabian owners are to spend big, they might go for a higher profile manager down the track. But I know you were a big fan of what Eddie Howe had been doing at Bournemouth before he lost his job there.
Yeah, he did a terrific job. I mean, he kept them in the Premiership year in and year out, didn't have the resources. And when you see a manager doing that, he's really, really doing a good job. And I think he deserves from his time. I mean, don't forget, at the end, he got the sack there. And that was bound to happen, because if he performs two miracles, then he's looking for three miracles, four miracles, five miracles. You're bound to run out of miracles at some stage, and that's what happened. So I think he deserves the chance at Newcastle, where they hopefully, I think they will have the financial resources for him to do things at Newcastle that he couldn't do at Bournemouth.
He's been very careful about the job which he's taken as well, John. He was in like major talks with Celtic last year before Postecoglou got the job, and eventually Eddie Howe would pull out of the negotiations with Celtic. He's been, you know, considering his options since he left Bournemouth. I'm sure he feels, and he's going to back his own ability here, that he can first of all keep them in the Premier League and get an upturn in form from where they've been at. And then if he does so, maybe he'll feel that he'll have done enough for next summer to be in place and to get some of those funds spent on improving Newcastle on the pitch. In many ways, is Eddie Howe backing himself?
Well, of course. I think any manager will that's in that game have to be backing themselves. You know, you have to, because this is an opportunity that doesn't come along very often. I mean, he's been out of Bournemouth for, what, two years now, maybe 3 years, and he hasn't got a job yet, or maybe hasn't been offered a job yet that he would like. As you said, he turned down one or two, I think. But I think the Newcastle one, if he gets the resources, which I'm sure he will, to get players in, really top-class players, and that's what the game is all about now. Years ago, you used to be able to build a team, but it's almost impossible now to do that. You need the resources, and he's going to a club that has, well, from what we hear, has the resources to compete with the top clubs. So it'll give him a good chance. As long as he's allowed, Will, to get the players in that he wants, this can be a problem, you know, because managers have to take a job. I think, say, Dean Smith, even at Villa, he wasn't even the manager. He was known as the head coach. Wouldn't have the power to pick the players and get rid of the players he didn't want. And in that case, he did a good job. But I think if our lad goes into Newcastle, I think before he'd go in, I think he would need to get the assurances that I'm picking the players I want and not to be run by somebody else behind the scenes.
Yeah, football here and Off the Ball, by the way, is brought to you by Sky. You can watch Liverpool and Arsenal go head-to-head on Saturday Night Football. That is live only on Sky Sports. Speaking of TV punditry, John, we were all kind of having a bit of a chat earlier on the news round and within the office. 16 years ago today, that the RTÉ panel has to react to the news that Roy Keane's 12 years at Old Trafford had come to an end and that he would be leaving the club after his MUTV interview. And we're talking about the show last night as well. Like, the most remarkable discussion between yourself and Eamon and Liam Brady and Bill O'Hurley trying to keep the conversation very nicely ticking over during it too. One thing I noticed during that whole conversation, John, is that you were very cleverly kind of holding back while the conversation was happening. We talk about Bill O'Hurley having perfect timing and knowing when to lob a grenade or when to sit back in the debate. You very cleverly sat back while Eamon and Liam went at each other.
Well, I don't. What were they going at each other for? I spoke a little bit today. It wasn't a football matter.
Yeah.
That were going at each other. They were going on about some paper man and that did something. Well, you know, I felt that I wasn't on the panel to talk about that.
Did you know, John, when Eamon was likely to go off on one of these, though? Because I'm thinking about like kind of Terry Venables when he had a discussion just before Trapattoni came in a couple of years after that, and Eamon comes in almost armed with his facts and figures ready to go once Bill asks him a question. Would you have known on a night like that before you went to air that, you know, Eamon was likely to go in two-footed?
Oh, yeah. Well, we used to have a chat before the shows of what we were going to talk about or discuss. We always did that. You know, we'd meet where it was maybe 2 hours before the programme. Sometimes it would be about a football match. Sometimes it would be about something that wasn't a football match. But I think we always knew among ourselves, and Bill had to know what we were likely to talk about.
And like, Bill is amazing, John. Like, obviously, we've spoken about him in so many tributes since he passed away, about like the incredible art he had over such a long period of time on the TV and with the panel. He's such a kind of a crucial part of it. But one of the things I notice about Bill as well is that even when someone goes aggressively on the panel or decides to chase after something, Bill was never flustered. Like, Eamon would ask him about, you know, where did you read that or where did that fact come from? Bill O'Hurley was a man who couldn't be shaken.
Oh, no. I mean, Bill was a real pro. Had been at the game a long time, certainly before I came on the panel and indeed before Eamon came on the panel. Like, Bill knew his stuff. He knew how to get the best, well, what we consider the best out of Liam, the best out of Eamon and the best out of myself in the way that he knew and had the knowledge to get what people would want to hear, and he was exceptionally good at that.
As viewers, we're gripped on a night like that. We're meant to be getting ready to watch Liverpool against Real Betis in the Champions League, but the game almost becomes a sideshow compared to the discussion that you guys would have been having on the panel before us talking about Roy Keane's.
But that would only happen now and again.
They're still very memorable, though, John. Like,
I know, but it wouldn't be memorable to me because I wouldn't be that interested in it. I'd be more interested in the game and what we're going to talk about, football. But we all brought different things to the panel. And Eamon was extremely good and had a terrific command of the English language to discuss anything. And Liam brought his bit to it, I brought my bit, and Bill, in a big way, brought his value to the panel.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was a very enjoyable time watching football punditry, and I think many of us fell down the YouTube holes of having a look through many of the classic moments this week on the back of remembering that 16 years ago. John, it's been great to talk to you. Thanks a million for joining us.
Thanks, Will.